In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Last week, we had a class for what we were calling greeters. That's something that Tom inspired, and we did our third series in the class. And Tom had called me a couple weeks ago and said, I don't know where to go from here. And we were just having a very brief conversation. He wanted some feedback, and he asked me what I thought. And then being that my typical Yankee way, I said, well, what if we did a class on what would it look like if we actually loved each other? And he said, well, that's one way to put it. But that's the question that I'd like to talk about in today's sermon. And which we talked about last week, we wrote down a list of things. But what would it look like if we as a congregation loved each other? And we say if because we have to allow for the possibility that we do not love each other, and we may not even really want to love each other. We may not even know that we're supposed to love each other. And so the if is to ask that question and to encourage us to know that as a congregation in Christ, it's love of God and love of neighbor, but the neighbor always starts with your immediate spiritual family and then extends out beyond that radius. And so that we are actually called to love one another with real love. And it does no good to say, as St. James says, that you have faith or that you are praying for somebody and not to actually add some sort of work to it. In today's gospel, we have an example of love and action, and love and action and faith. We have the four men who carry their friend on a mat, a very thin mat, and because they can't bring their friend who is paralyzed to Jesus, they climb up on the roof and lower him down, and it says that Jesus saw their faith, and that Jesus then went on to forgive this man's his sins, and this, of course, creates controversy. But he didn't say that he saw their faith because they were at home feeling like they had faith, and he didn't see their love because somewhere deep in their hearts they had a feeling of love. Our Lord saw these people carrying their friend and lowering him and overcoming obstacles in order to do something good that this man needed. There was exertion involved. There was a show. There was something to see there that was concrete. One of the items that we listed out, and this is the one main one I'll focus on today, that we listed out, and we had a list of about five or six concrete things that would say, you know what, if I loved you, if we loved each other, this is what we might do for one another. And there was things like forgiveness and having an attitude, being friendly, those sort of things. But one of the later ones was to pray. That if we love one another, we would pray for one another. And in the Orthodox world, what this mostly would mean, for most of us, I think we would interpret it almost automatically, is that we'd write a list of names down, and then at the end of our prayer rule in the morning, if we pray, because not everybody prays, but if we did that sort of prayer rule, that there's a list at the end, and then we'd say, Michael, Janet, and then move on. And we've prayed for people for the day. We've said our prayers. And also, or just write their name on a list and maybe keep the list and then mention them very briefly. I remember Metropolitan Jonah, when he visited a seminary, he said, I really want you to pray for me. Not just because you said the litany that prays for the Metropolitans, but actually take the time to sit down and pray for me. And this is something that culturally within the Orthodox world you don't see very active. There's a coldness, and there's also a roteness about much of what we do spiritually. And so we don't often see or don't often hear of people actually deeply contemplating and thinking about other people and offering their prayers. Like, really acknowledging them. You hear this more within Protestant prayer groups than I've ever heard of it anywhere else. And yet, at the same time, we glorify saints. All over our walls are painted with saints who we ask for their prayers, and we acknowledge that during their lives they prayed for people. That one of the things that impressed people about them is that they were prayerful and that their prayers were effective, and that their prayers weren't narcissistically focused on themselves and what they wanted in life, but they were actually saw the sufferings of other people's or the various aspects of other people's lives and prayed for them. Sincerely, in reality. In this third week of Great Lent, we hopefully have begun to fast by now. And then we add to fasting because we know that fasting is worthless without prayer. But what should we pray for? Well, certainly there's the written prayers we can pray. And we can certainly pray for the circumstances in our life. But the next step is to look out beyond us and pray for the people we're surrounded by, as an act of love and as an act of devotion. Within our tradition, enshrined very strongly, especially within the monastic tradition, there is this idea that as we fast and empty ourselves, that we can become more full of God. And that in becoming more full of God, our hearts become larger. And as our hearts become larger, we then can accept people within our hearts. This reconnects to today's gospel, because we may not actually have the physical ability to physically go find a paralyzed person and run them in front of Jesus, who is trapped in a house and surrounded by people. But we have the ability spiritually to take people who may be full of sins, who may be unable to bring themselves in front of Christ. And we meet such people all the time. You know, when I sin, I'm ashamed and I run away from Christ. When people sin or when they're out in the world, often they are broken and alienated from God. And the only person that can help them is the Holy Spirit. But that is often activated by our prayers. By then, when we encounter those people out there or the people in here, and we experience them, that we can actually lower them down in front of the presence of Christ within our own hearts. If we're prayerful, and if we're challenged to have love and to grow in this particular way. And this isn't extraordinary. This is just really, as Father Barnabas Powell often says, this is normal orthodoxy. I don't know where it's been missing or why it isn't more taught, but it is just normal for us to be praying for one another. It is normal for us to pray for your priest who comes all sorts of and supposedly is always attacked spiritually. It is normal for us to be looking around the congregation. You can't know everybody anymore. It's impossible to have 60 close friendships in this parish. But that doesn't mean you can't keep the friendships you have. And in all sincerity, pray for those people. And then when you go out into your life, you encounter all sorts of secular people and broken people. And if you're a teacher, you have students. And if you're just sitting at the coffee shop, there are people that you'll see. And you can, by the grace of God, take these people within your hearts and with all sincerity, ask for God to bless them and heal them, and that they may find Christ, that they, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, may come to know God, that some of their problems and illnesses and sicknesses may be healed, that some of their struggles would be overcome by the power of God. And this is what we're training ourselves to do. Finally, I'll mention today, dedicated to St. Gregory of Palamas. And Gregory Palamas talks about witnessing the uncreated light. But he doesn't witness the uncreated light as a selfish, narcissistic, spiritual mountain that he can climb up and simply glory within himself. When he saw God's light, when the saints see God's light, it is because they have expanded their hearts. If they are given the grace to see the light of Christ in a more tangible way, the light of Tabor, it is ultimately because their hearts are being prepared that they can take the whole world into their hearts and pray for it. That's our spirituality within Orthodoxy. That's expressly, really expressed within monasticism. But we don't make a distinction between the monastic life and our life. We're all called to some degree to be intercessors for one another, to be the people who take our friends and the people around us, and in our life of prayer, to lower them in front of Christ so they can be forgiven, they can be healed, and that Christ can strengthen them. As we continue on in our journey of Lent, let us add prayer to our fasting. Let's not get caught up on the rules and the various things. We are meant to use the prayer books as ways to encounter God. And we always are encountering God in order to, again, love God and love our neighbor. And if we grow close to God, we'll also grow close to our neighbor. We will see them through God's eyes. But only if we pray. And only if our heart is strengthened and is made larger. So may God bless us to accomplish this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.